back with another episode of the Bills Wire podcast brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. My name is Rob Quinn. I'm the managing editor of BillsWire.com. I'm here with Kyle Szilagyi, and we have a very, very interesting show for you guys tonight. Before you start, just want to make sure you guys bookmark us online at BillsWire.com. Find all the news, analysis, speculation, anything you need to know about the Buffalo Bills, we're going to have it for you. Connect with us on Twitter, at the Bills Wire, on Facebook, our Instagram, just to stay up to date on everything you really need to know. Also, subscribe to our Bills Wire podcast on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcast these days. And be sure to leave that 5-star review. Now, this was an interesting week for the Buffalo Bills. Was it Friday that the rumblings began that there was an offensive player that suffered a pretty bad injury?
Yep.
That was Friday, correct?
Last Friday, yeah.
Yeah, so then the news broke that it was longtime center Eric Wood, former first-round pick in the 2009 draft. He's been a starting center ever since, a leader in the community, a captain, and he had a career-ending neck injury. He had the most bizarre send-off you would expect from a player of Eric Wood's stature in a franchise like the Bills. Wood was really the heart and soul of these Buffalo Bills teams that were so bad since 2009. He was the lone constant on that offensive line. He was a leader. He pushed people. He gave back to the community. He was well-loved by fans. And it comes out that he's not cleared to play football ever again. But making things even more dramatic was when he had his ceremony to go away, his statement was 84 seconds long. 84 seconds is all he needed to say he's never playing again. He claimed that he was going to remain with the team on the roster and try to help out, which was a head scratcher at first. But that press conference really left more questions than answers. And then Brandon Bean spoke to the media, and he basically said that it's going to be a long process until this situation is cleared up. He spoke on Eric Wood's leadership. After all, he signed a 2-year, $16 million contract extension during the preseason. The same day, ironically, that he sent Marcell Dareus home from the Baltimore Ravens game for violating a team rule. But he said, you know, it's a big void. You guys know what leadership he brought. That's a reason we re-signed him in August. And we had hoped, you know, we extended him 2 years, and you always hope to get those years. It doesn't always happen. And unfortunately, here, it didn't. No, it's not a big void on the field in the locker room. And we'll do our best to try and do that. So then what got even better was when he was asked why he was still remaining on the team, and he was very blunt. He said, well, we don't have any cap room right now. You have to roll it over. So he's going to be on our roster for a while until we figure things out. Now, Wood is guaranteed $4.8 million out of his roughly $5 million base salary for injury guarantees. If he was going to retire due to injury, he would count $10.4 million against the cap. That includes the prorated bonus from his already amortized prorated bonuses from his previous contract and this contract as well. They'll likely put him with a June 1st designation and try to save or at least break up some of those salary cap hits. But nonetheless, it's a bad look for a team to have their leader not even be able to retire because they don't have the money to let him do so. So before we get into this podcast, because we're going to be talking about quarterbacks, which is a really hot topic, the NFLPA has the Bills with roughly $11.5 million in salary cap space right now. In 2018, the cap's projected between $174 and $178 million. Now remember, since this new CBA was signed in 2012, it's gone up dramatically. It was $167 million last year. and you're allowed to roll over any unused money. So you, each team gets an adjusted salary cap number. So while the base is, say, $178 million, if you roll that $11.5 million over, you're near $190 million. But due to the trades and some poor roster management, the Bills have $18.7 million that will count in dead money. So salary cap of players that aren't even on the team will be counting against the Bills' salary cap this year. And that's a lot of money. According to overthecap.com, they have $141 million committed to contracts, which will really give them about $29 million in room. Tyrod Taylor is obviously going to be the elephant in the room this offseason, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But since I've been rambling for so long, Kyle, how are you doing tonight? What were your thoughts on the Eric Wood news when it broke? Your thoughts of him as a player, and really how this affects the Bills going forward?
First off, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. And on Eric Wood, it's a shame that the business side of football had to rear its head out at this point. Just because everybody loves Eric Wood. He's like you said, the heart and soul of the team. He and Kyle Williams were really the only two that were left, and now they're both from the dark ages, and now they both may leave. So it's upsetting, but I guess it's a bit fitting that this team's heading into a new era, and the two guys who are around for all the bad times are now leaving for two different reasons. But obviously you'd like them to stick around, and it's a shame that Wood has to retire because of this injury. But like you said, it's not really a good look that this leader who's been around for 10 years can't even retire because the team's in a weird cap situation. I mean, if a situation like this, you have a guy who, like, all the fans love, he's a locker room leader, everybody loves him, you'd like him to be able to go out there and have an hour press conference and just reminisce on his career and just talk about everything and just retire peacefully. But no, he's just got to go up there and say, hey, can't even say I'm retiring because this is a weird cap situation, and I can't say that I'm retiring. So you would have liked to seen him be able to just go out how he wanted to go out, but unfortunately that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, his quarterback of a few years from his time in Buffalo, was there. It was a packed house at the field house. He showed up an hour late, which was strange. It was just a bizarre situation all around. And like you said, you'd like to see him, a player like that, who may not be an all-pro center, may not be one of the best players in the league, but for a team like the Bills, he was a guy that, you know, fans really embraced. He ingrained himself in the community. I remember I went to two of his charity events, and he was the nicest person you could ever meet. I talked to him for about 15 minutes at one of them, and you would never know that he was a professional athlete. He didn't have any ego at all. He was just very down to earth, and he was just a great guy. Now that people will debate his talents as a center, personally, I think that the contract extension was a bit premature. I think it was more of a look at what we're doing to Darius. We're going to send him home and reward Eric Wood for that behavior and kind of get guys in line. I mean, that could be a conspiracy theory that I'm just making up and crazy. But when you put two and two together, that's all I could really come up with there. But now the Bills, a team that already have a lot of needs. I mean, there were question marks at right tackle with Jordan Mills. There was a competition between Vlad Dukas and John Miller at right guard. Ryan Groy didn't come in and play a lot of center. It seems that they like him at guard or swing tackle. So does this add another need to the Bills offseason when they don't have a lot of money and they do have some draft picks?
I don't think necessarily. I think that they have their replacement center, and I think it's Groy. Like you said, they like him as that depth guard who can kind of fill in anywhere. But they matched that contract from LA, I think it was last offseason, from the Rams. So they like what they saw out of him. And at that point, really, he was coming off the season where he replaced Wood. So they obviously like his work at center, liked him enough to match his contract and keep him around. So could I see them drafting a center? Absolutely, just because center is a very important position. That's a hole you need to fill. But Groy's still young. I think he's only going to be 27 when next season starts. You have him under contract for a year. So, in my opinion, just see what you have with him. And if you like what you have in Groy, if you think that he can be the center moving forward, give him an extension.
Yeah, this is just, I could see the team start to overthink things and say, you know, okay, Cordy Glenn, his foot is an issue. He's got to go. Everyone has him as their number one salary cap casualty, whether that's by a release or a trade. Richie Incognito's getting up there in age. Now Wood's gone. Are you confident in Vlad Dukas and John Miller and Jordan Mills? I don't know. Deion Dawkins was impressive, but this could be something that opens the eyes to the team and says, okay, we need to address the offensive line in addition to defensive line, defensive end, linebacker, and all the rest of the position holes that the Bills have.
Yeah, the line as a whole struggled last year. Deion Dawkins was really the only bright spot. I mean, Wood, I mean, everybody loves Wood, but to be honest, he wasn't terrific last season by any means. So, like you said, hopefully this does open their eyes a bit, and they're like, oh, we should probably think about rebuilding this line, especially if they're going to get a new quarterback. That's going to they're going to need to protect whoever they have.
Yeah, definitely. And that really takes us to the next point. Coincidentally, the Kansas City Chiefs traded up with the Buffalo Bills in the 2017 draft to select Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback out of Texas Tech. The Bills took Tre'Davious White. We all love Tre'Davious. Apparently, the Chiefs love Mahomes because they just traded him. They just traded Alex Smith to the Washington Redskins in exchange for a third-round pick and Kendall Fuller. Now, this is huge, not only because of the Alex Smith move. He got paid 4 years, $94 million, $71 million guaranteed, an average of $23.5 million a year. Last year, he did over 4,000 yards, nearly 68% completion rate, threw 26 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. Now, he's a quality quarterback. He's almost 34 years old. So, Washington is in a very strange situation because now Kirk Cousins, who they franchise tagged in each of the last two seasons, is going to be an unrestricted free agent. And this could open the floodgates for the salary cap, really, and what the quarterback market looks like going forward. The salary cap is gone up about $55 million if you're going off the new projection of $178 million. In 2013, the salary cap was $123 million. That year, Matt Ryan signed a five-year, $103.75 million deal. $42 million of that was guaranteed. The average per year was $20.75 million. Last year, Matt Stafford signed for 5 years, $135 million. $92 million guaranteed, 27 average per year, 16.1% of the cap. So if you're looking at a top-tier quarterback, you're looking at around 16 to 17% of your team's total salary cap. So on top, and these were re-signings. So Kirk Cousins knows that he is going to have a large market for his services. There's not many quarterbacks that share the company that he does, having over 13,000 yards, over 80 touchdowns, less than 30 interceptions in the last three seasons with the Washington Redskins. Good quarterbacks don't become unrestricted free agents. So he's going to be able to go to a table with a team who can present him with an offer, and he can laugh in their face and say no. Because if you look at a team like the Browns, they have over $100 million in salary cap space. And a lot of people are saying that Cousins is looking for $30 million per year. So if you're going off that 16 to 17% rate, he's wouldn't be crazy to go to a team with a contract worth $150 million, $100 million guaranteed over 5 years, and it would make sense. What are your thoughts on this and just how the quarterback market has changed with the salary cap going up?
Yeah, as you said, Cousins is about to get paid just because good quarterbacks don't often hit the market. You usually the quarterback market's usually full with serviceable guys who are either unproven or they're veterans, and the teams just kind of sign them to come in and compete, hopefully. Rarely do you get a guy who you know is going to be a starter, or is even, some would argue he's elite. I don't think that he's an elite quarterback, but you could make the argument that he's in that top tier of quarterbacks. And those guys don't hit free agency that often. So it's truly crazy that he is going to hit free agency. And he is going to get a huge contract just because teams don't want to pass this opportunity up.
Yeah, definitely. But, a lot of people are saying, are pushing for the Bills to make this move, which just really doesn't make sense
Bad.
when you look at, I mean, Brandon Bean just said they couldn't let Eric Wood retire because they don't have the money. But now they're going to give $30 million a year to Kirk Cousins? I don't think so. But they're not going to give $30 million to Kirk Cousins. I can see Brandon Bean. He already said, don't expect any big splashes in free agency. This is the last year where they're really kind of pressed against the salary cap. And next year, they have upwards of over $100 million in salary cap space. So I think that with the amount of draft picks that they have at their disposal this offseason, I think it's 5 in the first 3 rounds. They're going to be able to get whichever quarterback they want. And that's the model for winning in the NFL today. If you get a quarterback on a rookie deal, he's getting 4 or 5 years for $20 million if he's a top 5 pick. Do you really want to pay Kirk Cousins $30 million and then basically not have any money to really fill out the roster around him? I don't see that, especially if you're going to a team like the Browns or the Jets that have a lot of issues. And a positive for the Bills is that these are teams that pick before them in the NFL draft. So it really kind of takes a quarterback off the board and gives one more for the Bills to choose from.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've heard the rumors as Cousins, as you said, he's the Jets, and then the Browns are top suitors. And then I think Colin Coward said that he's very interested in signing with the Broncos, which would be another trade-up partner for the Bills. I think they all pick in the top 10, or I'm not sure where the Broncos pick, but it's a relatively high pick. If any of them land Cousins, that is a great opportunity to say, okay, you guys just got Cousins. We will trade you our two first. You can get some solid first round talent to round out your lineup, and we'll go up and grab our quarterback while you can just fill out the rest of your team.
Definitely. And something that is going to be a big debate this offseason, especially if they don't get one of the big name quarterbacks, who are they going to get as that veteran to have in the locker room? Because I don't think you can have Nate Peterman strolling into St. John Fisher as the only competition for a rookie quarterback.
Oh, most definitely not. But this is assuming that they're going to cut Tyrod, which I think that they'd be dumb to do. I don't see any reason whatsoever to cut Tyrod Taylor.
They just
I
seen the
just.
contract. I mean, he's looking better and better with that $18 million cap hit. So I mean, everyone knows he gets that $6 million roster bonus, but I think that Bills fans are a little more sour on him than the rest of the league may be if you're looking for a 1 year stopgap.
Absolutely. If I were Brandon Bean, I am trading up to get a quarterback, and then I'm going into training camp with Taylor, Peterman, and then whoever my quarterback is. And Taylor ideally would go in first on the depth chart. I see no reason to rush a rookie quarterback into starting right away. I think because Taylor, say whatever you will, he's proven that he's a productive quarterback, and he's not going to turn the ball over. Call him a game manager all you want, but he's a serviceable quarterback who led the Bills to the playoffs. At me on Twitter, I don't care. But yeah, you know what you're getting out of him. So let him start next year. Let him be the bridge quarterback. I don't see a reason to cut him and then bring in a guy through free agency. You're not going to get a Tyrod Taylor level quarterback in free agency who wants to come here on a bridge deal. You're not going to get a Sam Bradford on a one-year deal. You're not going to get Teddy Bridgewater on a one-year deal. You're just not going to do it.
Teddy Bridgewater is the most fascinating to me. He's 25 years old. He was looking very promising and improving in his first two seasons. Then he had that gruesome leg injury. But he is only 25. So is he going to want a prove-it deal where he says, you know what, I could beat this guy out, prove to the NFL that I'm healthy, I could play, and then sign a big deal next season? Or is he going to be too worried about looking over his shoulder about for a rookie? Even Mike Rodak brought up a weird name, but was interesting. Derek Anderson. He said he was signed by the Panthers in 2011 when they drafted Cam Newton. And Cam apparently loved him. Bean thought that he was a great mentor to him. So I think that's a name to watch as well, rather than just the typical Sam Bradford. He doesn't have a jersey that's going to fit him over those arms in Buffalo. So I just think you can write him off. I mean, this. I don't want to spend $12 million, $13 million when you have Tyrod Taylor for a few million more. When are you really making that big of an upgrade?
Exactly. And a quarterback's really only as good as the weapons that you surround him with. And I'm not sure if Teddy Bridgewater or whoever you put under center is going to do much better than Tyrod did with the weapons that he had last season. An injured Kelvin, an injured Zay, and Deontay Thompson. I'm not sure what else he could have done with that core.
Definitely. And I wrote an article on Bills Wire saying the Bills would be foolish to go after Teddy Bridgewater. And part of that was looking at their team, and he had less fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives than Tyrod Taylor. The games that they did win, they didn't score a lot of points. They relied on a strong run game and an awesome defense. I mean, their defense is stacked from front to back. So he had a lot of help. So while he's a talented player in his own right, I don't think he has that high of a ceiling as a lot of people in draft would or prayed that he would. But Sam Bradford at 30 years old, you know what he is. Case Keenum is just played himself into $20 million, and it's going to be probably going to be pretty horrible for whichever team gives him that deal. I agree with you in the sense that Tyrod Taylor deserves this year. There's no need because they're going to eat dead money if they get rid of him, and then they're going to have to give a new contract to a new starter, learn the system, and be around for a year. So it really doesn't make sense. I think you just sit tight this year with your $29 million in cap, sign a couple of role players, hopefully draft well, and then go into 2019 with your $102.2 million in cap space and get to work.
Exactly. You wait to fill your major holes there. I think that this may be another just kind of rebuilding year, unfortunately, but I can't really say that just because we haven't even reached the offseason yet. But, yeah, just as we've been saying, just you're not going to find a better bridge quarterback than Tyrod this year. It would just, in my opinion, it'd be counterproductive to cut Tyrod and then bring in another player who could start on a short-term deal to groom that the rookie quarterback along should they draft a rookie quarterback. When you have Tyrod on a one-year deal, it's just Why get rid of your productive quarterback on a 1 year deal just to sign another productive quarterback on a short term deal? It doesn't make any sense
at all. And Tyrod's 28 right now, looking at his contract in 2018, he's guaranteed he'll get the $6 million roster bonus, the prorated bonus counts against the cap, but he's really only guaranteed $7 million in cash. So if he doesn't pan out and they have a rookie, they can move on. So he does have that $18 million cap hit, but in terms of cash, he's not costing a lot of money. And I don't think you're going to find a lot of quarterbacks out there that can do what Taylor does. No matter what some fans will say, they all want the new flavor of the week, but I guarantee you no one before the season was saying, oh, Case Keenum needs to be the future, they need to give him a long-term deal, and he's the guy that's going to take the Bills to the Super Bowl. I mean, that just didn't happen. And I think that the Bills will be wise drafting a quarterback relatively high, whether they trade up maybe for Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, any of the top passers. I mean, we know it's pretty much going to happen, but it's really a matter of what veteran is going to be that mentor, because you don't want a situation that happened in 2013 when the fans were so angry with Ryan Fitzpatrick, where they ran hit out of town, and it's very similar to what's going on with Tyrod Taylor right now. And they released Ryan Fitzpatrick. There was nobody on the roster. They signed Kevin Cobb. Everyone and their mother knew that the Bills had to take a quarterback. They took EJ Manuel, who was supposed to sit. Kevin Cobb slipped on that mat, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that, dark times, as I said earlier. That was a bad time to be a Bills fan, but I was all in on EJ, just so I'm going to be all in on whoever we probably trade up to pick.
As we should be.
Exactly. This just goes back to the whole... fans are against Tyrod Taylor for really no reason. I don't understand why fans don't like Tyrod Taylor. He's super exciting to watch. He can be irritating to watch at times, but undeniably the best quarterback the Bills had in the drought era. And I really don't see any reason to... I agree that we need a new quarterback just to move on under this new regime and to get the ball rolling here, but it's just cutting him and then, like you said, showing their cards, showing, okay, we are trading a quarterback, or we are going to trade up for a quarterback, so you can...
lowball us or overcharge us and take all of their draft picks, really. I mean, they wouldn't have any leverage. So it just doesn't make sense.
Yep, it's...
The only thing holding that back is really that $6 million roster bonus that's due at the start of free agency. But do the Bills want to eat that $6 million and be safe? Or do you want to go into the draft with Nathan Peterman?
Exactly.
That's the only answer, a question you need to ask.
Yeah, 100% agree with what you're saying. They can't get rid of Tyrod. Only way I could see them trading Tyrod is if Cleveland or New York doesn't make a push for Cousins and they orchestrate a trade with Tyrod in there. That's the only way that I can see Tyrod not being a Bill next season, is if he is in the trade that gets us to the top of the draft.
Definitely. And that makes a lot of sense. And I guess that'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Bills Wire podcast. Again, I am Rob Quinn. You can find me on Twitter at RobQuinn619. Follow us on the Bills Wire official Twitter account at the Bills Wire, on Facebook at the Bills Wire. Definitely bookmark BillsWire.com. We're bringing 6 to 8 pieces of awesome content to today. Podcast, Rich Fan and I are going to start a new project for the upcoming draft. We're going to do video breakdowns of some of the top prospects that can interest the Bills. Kyle is always killing it with his analysis. Justin DeLauro, Rich Kowalski. I mean, I don't think there's a better staff of writers out there. I couldn't be more happy to work with this team. And Kyle, where can the people find you? And what do you got coming up in store for your next article? Other than news.
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Selegi. As for what my next article is, I'm really not sure.
You're on the spot.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know that we're entering an exciting time. We're getting into free agent season, getting into draft season, so we'll have breakdowns over there about potential free agents, guys who could be fits here, and then just draft breakdowns, which are always fun. So yeah, just keep an eye out because we have everything. There's no reason to go anywhere else.
Absolutely. And once again, that is at the Bills Wire, the Bills and BillsWire.com. For Kyle Selegi, I'm Rob Quinn. Don't forget to leave that 5-star review and subscribe to the podcast. Go Bills.